we continue to experience the word of the Lord together, let us pray. Grant unto us now, Almighty God, the ability to go beyond our limits so that we might experience you more fully in this time and into your future. May this time of preaching and hearing the word proclaimed infect our lives and alter our ways of seeing the world and of being in it, so that we might live in your grace and love and spread your mercy and care to the whole world. In the name of Jesus the Son, we pray. Amen. Here we are with the last Lenten text in the Gospel of series that I've been preaching. We will have the denouement on the worship celebration on Easter morning, but today marks the last one during Lent, the last one titled The Gospel of Something, Easter being a little different, titled The Culmination of the Gospels. Today, in some ways, this is the last passage in this series with the addendum on Easter. These passages have been about various things that I think are important in the life of the one who follows Christ, the one who seeks God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. First one was about community. I called it the Gospel of Wasting Time because that's just a better title. But the first one was about growing in our relationship with God by spending time in fellowship within the community of God's family. The second one was a difficult text, for me at least, about the fact that following God means letting go of the ways of the world, including the world's strength and the world's wisdom and the world's way of getting power and glory. Following God means a denial of self, a denial of our human power, and a surrender to God. The third passage was about how that frees us up to be our whole and complete selves before not only God, but before the community. And we can be, and perhaps should at times be, a little silly. You probably could gather that it was a personal favorite of mine. You didn't even need to see videos of years past VBS and my dancing prowess, or lack thereof, to know it. This week's passage is similar to all the others. It's about something I completely and totally believe in. This week's passage is about joy. So hear now the word of the Lord as it comes to us in the Gospel of John. Listen. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. My Father has glorified this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When we talk about joy, we need to distinguish it from happiness. The two are very different. Happy fades. Happy is dependent upon circumstances that are often beyond our control. I'm happy when the weather is nice, as it has been recently, but I don't always control the weather. Yet. Joy is different. Joy is not dependent upon circumstances. Joy is a way of being. I've been working with this self-definition of joy for a while now. Joy is the power to celebrate the sufficiency of Christ in all circumstances. Which means when the weather is nice, celebrate the sufficiency of Christ. When the checkbook is out and all the bills are all over the dining room table and the dang thing will not balance and the hair is tightly gripped in the fist, well, celebrate the sufficiency of Christ. Now, I don't need to tell you this, but one is easier than the other. But in all things, Christ is sufficient. And the ability to trust in that, well, that's life-changing joy. I don't know about you, but I get the sense that the world wants me to chase happiness. I hear it nonstop on the radio commercials and see it nonstop on the TV ads. If you just buy this, you'll be happy. Well, and if you buy this, then you need to buy the addition to this to make you really happy. And then when that breaks, you'll need to buy a new kit, and that will make you happy. And then if you just buy the addendum to the kit, then you can get happy. And you keep chasing it and chasing it and chasing it till the average debt of the U.S. household is $8,000 in credit card debt, just because we're chasing happiness. But what if we lived in joy? What if we let joy redefine our life? What if we said, there will be times in which I'm happy and there will be times in which I'm sad, but God will be sufficient in all things. In the happy times when things are just right, when life is as we dreamed it should be, or in the sad or even deeply miserable or heartbreaking times, Christ goes with us. Somewhere in the redefinition of life and how we live in the world, knowing that God is always with us in the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ brings us a deeper sense of joy that remains even when situations are sad or heartbreaking or worse. That old song is half right. We all must go down the lonesome valley. But it's half wrong because we never go there by ourselves. For God is always with us. And Christ is enough. Maybe that's what it means to abide in the love of Christ. That's what Jesus says. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. It's a beautiful statement. Live in my love, Jesus says. Make my love your home, Jesus says. Your life, whatever you do, wherever you are, whatever is going on, whatever happens, remember that you are defined by my love, Jesus says. I'm from around here, so I use words like y'all. I've tried and tried not to use words like y'all, but I just can't stop it. That's because I'm from around here and I can't. It's part of who I am. This is home. It's defined me. Be defined by my love, God says. Make yourself at home. Take your shoes off. Get yourself comfortable in my love. It's a wonderful image. This is the way that Eugene Peterson translates verse 9 in the Message. I've loved you the way the Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. Being at home in God's love, perhaps that is true joy and the ability to celebrate the sufficiency of Christ, making ourselves at home in God's love. But it's not as easy as that, is it? We get so easily distracted by the day-to-day details of life. We worry. I worry. I presume you do too. We worry about our mortgage and our mortality. Same root word, by the way. We worry about what other people think of us, making sure to project just the right image so the right people will think right of us. We worry about keeping our jobs, making sure there will be enough money at the end of the month. We worry about making our families happy, being good children to our parents, good siblings to our brothers and sisters, good parents to our children. Whatever your combination of, we all worry about duty to family. We worry about 401k plans and retirement. We worry about 529 plans and the rising cost of college. Trust me, the 529, with the knowledge of how much they say college will cost in 12 years, has kept me up at least a night or two. We worry about life insurance and making sure that if we pass on, our families are taken care of. We worry about good things. These are all good things to worry about, good things to think about. They're things I think God wants us to do, things that will make our lives better and will make stronger our ability to provide joy to a hurting world. But when they take away from the fact that my focus on the fact that Jesus is sufficient, that God's love offers me a welcome home no matter what, then no matter how well I take care of those worries, they bring no joy and little happiness. And the passage continues to verse 11. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Melissa and I have, as most of you know, two outstanding daughters. Neither Melissa nor myself would trade either one of them for the world, even if you threw in a really good ham sandwich. They are our joy. And it's because they always do exactly what we say, exactly when we say. They always obey. They're perfect little angels. As long as I'm dreaming, they always keep their respective rooms clean and the music they make us listen to in the car, top notch. None of that's why they're our joy. They are a huge source of abiding joy, even when they're bickering over who gets to hold the balloon, or when they don't do what we ask, or when, Daddy, can I have some ice cream? No, you didn't finish all of dinner. Mommy, can I have some ice cream? They're even our joy when they listen to that god-awful music over and over and over and over again as we zoom down the road in the great green grocery getter. That's our minivan. I'm not always happy with what our children do or how they act or the situations they put us in, like listening to nonstop choo-choo soul music, if you can call it that, or going, you know, I remember going to restaurants with wine lists instead of playgrounds. I remember going to restaurants where chicken nuggets weren't on the menu. But our kids are always our joy. I have a deep and steadfast sense of joy because they're ours, born of our love. I think this is what it means to abide in God's love, to know that God has a deep sense of joy in us, because we too belong to God and are created out of God's love. Our children deeply love Melissa and me. I think it's because they know that they are completely and unconditionally loved by us, and they know what it means to abide in our love, and it's sufficient for any circumstance. When a tooth is loose and we just can't bear the thought of having it pulled, when the splinter is deep and the extraction is painful, when the timeout chair looms because Boo the Bear has been hitting again, even when there's no dessert because we haven't finished dinner, I think they know that our love, like any parent's love for their child, is sufficient. And the joy that's enabled in them because of that knowledge is complete joy, and it makes our joy as parents even more palpable. God loves you completely, fully. Not because you're good, though when you are, I think that makes God happy. But God loves you simply because you belong to God, simply because God created you and knows you. Certainly in there is reason enough to have joy, to rely upon the sufficiency of Christ, to abide in God's love through every time and season. Amen.